We are up to the Mishnah on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, 37a. Brand new discussion. The Misukenes. Remember that a Misukenes is an animal which appears to be dying, but without a specific trefa. It's not that it has a wound that's causing it to die. It's simply an animal that has become very weak and seems to be dying. So the Mishnah says, "Ashochet es hamisukenes." If you shech the misukenes, and the question at hand is, can you determine that the animal died not as a result of its ailment and not in the course of the shechita, but the shechita was actually what killed it? So, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, in our edition, or as we're going to see it in the Gemara and Daf Lamed Ches, Rabbi ben Gamliel, Omer ad shetefarches biyad uboregel. He says the animal has to actually be mefarches. Pirchus is the sudden jerk of the limb. Biyad uboregel. It sounds like right now the foreleg and the rear leg. Rabbi Eliezer Omer daya im zinka, and Rabbi Eliezer says zinuk is sufficient, and zinuk is the spurt of the blood that comes out of the place where the vessel is cut when the animal exhales. So it has to have a forceful exhalation so that the blood actually sprays out. The Amar Rabbi Shimon Ashoche de Balailo Lamachar Hishkim Umatzak Salam Malayim Dam. So Rabbi Shimon says, if you shacht at night, so that you're not able to tell whether there was pirchus or not, you can't see clearly enough. But if you find the walls are filled with blood, and the Gemara is going to conclude that we mean the walls of the neck, not the walls of the room, the walls of the animal's neck are filled with blood, ksheira, then it's kosher shazinka ukamidas Rabbi Eliezer, because then we know there was zinuk, and that'll satisfy Rabbi Eliezer's criterion of having zinuk, even if you can't tell that the limbs actually shifted. And the Chachamim take a modified version of this pirchus requirement, saying that it's either the foreleg or the rear leg or the tail, and that constitutes pirchus. So you have, as I laid it out on the sheet, really three views. You have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel / Rabbi Gamliel, the jerking of the foreleg and the rear leg, Rabbi Eliezer saying the spray of dam, and the Chachamim saying shaking the foreleg, the rear leg, or the tail. Echad behema daka, v'echad behema gasa. Now this rule in and of itself, that we require the demonstration that it's not, that it didn't die as a result of something other than shechita, applies whether you're dealing with a lighter animal or whether you're dealing with a behema gasa, literally a heavier, coarser animal. We have separate discussions about how you define the difference between gasa and daka. It's not, for some reason, it's not as clear-cut as one would have thought. I say that because those who come to the Avodah Zarah Shir, between Mincha and Maariv on Shabbos afternoon, saw a few weeks ago a debate or a question as to whether a lion counts as a daka or a gasa. I would not have thought this was up for debate. I would have kind of assumed lion goes in the clearly gasa category. Nonetheless, that shows that there is some question in this regard about the definitions of daka and gasa, some related to gestation period. We may see that yet in the Gemara.
Where's your shir?
It's in the Beis Medrash opposite the Kolel.
You give that then.
Yeah. So behema daka shepashta yada v'lo hachzira psula. If you have an animal that is in the daka category, let's take one that clearly is. Let's take a goat, and it extends its foreleg v'lo hachzira, but it doesn't pull it back in psula. That's possible. Why? Sheina elotzas nefesh bilvad, because that movement of the limb is simply the animal dying. It's not a back and forth motion. And with a daka, you would expect it to go back and forth, as opposed to the unsaid part here. If it's a gasa, it's enough for it to extend its leg once, one direction. And just the fact that it was able to do that, it's a heavy limb, already tells us that it's kosher. When is all of this true? This whole discussion about needing it to move its leg back and forth and all that, when does that apply? Only shahaisa b'chezgas misukenes. If the animal was already presumed to be ill, he was known to be ill. Avalam haisa b'chezgas bria, but if as far as we knew it was a healthy animal, then afilu in b'achan mikol simana malalu k'shera, it's kosher, even if there is no spurt of dam, it doesn't move its leg and all that. It's only that I have a suffix, now you have to prove. But if I don't have a suffix in the first place, if I wasn't in doubt in the first place, then there's nothing for me to prove. Okay.
If you move your tail, and that's good enough, why isn't it moving just the leg one way? Okay.
Right. So the question is really whether kishkisha biznavam just means a shifting of the tail or may require more, but you could also answer this is within the view of the Tanakhama. Meaning, it's already not the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require kishkisha biznava. So the going back and forth may just be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel. It may not even be the Chachamim. I don't know, but it could be. So the Gemara asks, Misukenes mimai desharya. Why would you even think Misukenes should be fine, even with your Pirchus? Who cares about Pirchus? Maybe I should argue that this is like one of the trefos. You have an animal that's so sickly, and we're going to define Misukenes at the end of the daf as an animal that isn't even able to stand up. Right, you stand the animal up and it collapses. So maybe I should say this is like a trefa. Why is this permitted? Which the Gemara says, why do you assume that it's no good? What do you mean? The rule is supposed to be mutter until proven aser. So why would I have thought it's aser? So that's easy, he says. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, zos hachaya asher tochelu. This is the animal that you shall eat, and it uses the word chaya. So we take the word chaya literally, not as a noun, but rather as a description of its state. Chaya achol. If it's alive and well and strong, you can eat from it. V'she'ena chaya lo techol. But if it won't live, then you're not able to eat from it. V'hamisukenes eino chaya, and this misukenes is not called living. That's my reason why I would say it's aser, because the pasuk says you can only eat chaya. By the way, we're going to see now five different psukim to explain that how I know that the misukenes is permitted despite the zos hachaya asher tochelu. But on a logic standpoint, there's a machlokas as to why it's permitted. The Rashbash, the Kuzari, and others say it's because this animal may get better. Yes, it's very weak right now, but weakness is curable. It could still regain strength. Whereas the Sefer HaEshkol and the Or Sameach, they say no. It's even if the animal doesn't get better, it's still going to be permitted. It's simply that the animal is not called chaser. It's not called lacking. Rashi is going to say on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis that the reason why a trefa is no good is because it's chaser, because it's lacking something, not because it's close to death. But because it's lacking something, you see the Maharam on that. But the Misukenes is not lacking anything. It's a perfectly healthy animal, except that it's dying. That was a joke. The idea is that it's simply very weak. But there's nothing missing from it. You look at it and say it has lungs, it has a heart, it has all the different organs that an animal is supposed to have, and they all seem to be functioning just at a weaker level. So that's why it's still going to be permitted from a logic standpoint. Logic being all well and good, we still need to read the psukim that'll tell us that it's kosher.
There's no meticulous suggestion to try and get the animal better.
Yes, there is. We'll see that on Amud Beis. There's going to be a view that says we have no business eating this animal. We'll see it when we get to Yechezkel on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, first, here's our first attempt out of five. Midama Rachmana Nevela Lo Sochal. The Torah says, don't eat a Nevela. Michlal de Misukenes Sharia. That must mean a Misukenes is okay, because a Misukenes is, however sickly it is, it's not a Nevela. De Isan Gedaitach Misukenes Asira. Because if you said that Misukenes was actually Aser, Hashta Mechayim Asira, then it's still Aser, it's Aser while it's still alive. Lach Armisa Midbai, who would need a Pasuk to tell me don't eat Nevela? Right? It will be obvious. To which the Gemara says, okay, but Vidoma Haina Nevela Haina Misukenes. Maybe Nevela is Misukenes. The Misukenes is Nevela. Maybe we should call the Misukenes Nevela. It just happens to be alive. Don't think that. Because I have a pasuk that says, V'chiyamus min ha-behema asher hi lo'achem lo'achla hanogea b'nevlasa yitmar ha'arev, right? The pasuk regarding Tumah, where it says, if the animal dies, one who touches the Nevela is Tameh. So it's if the animal dies. La'achar misa hu dekaye rachmana nevela. It's only called a nevela once it's already dead. Mechayim lo ikri nevela. When it's alive, it's not called a nevela. So therefore, Misukenes is not a nevela. And therefore, since the Torah only says don't eat nevela, Misukenes must be permitted.
In the Habimina, how do you know that before death, the animal in Misukenes became a nevela, being a very strong animal?
No, because we're going to see
that death becomes a nevela.
Right, because the assumption right now is that all animals that die go through a Misukenes stage. We're going to challenge that on Amud Beis, but that's the assumption right now, is that an animal that dies must go through, even for a moment, the phase of being Mesukenes, and my argument would be, at that point we also call it an Avela.
Killed by a sword or by a bullet, right?
That's the challenge on Amud Beis. You're remembering from 7.5 years ago.
My mind is working, that's all.
So the Gemara says, "V'dilma la'olam ei malach haynu nevela haynu misukenes." But maybe I should say that that nevela is misukenes, despite what it said here. And the answer is there are two levels. There is mechayim while it's still alive, and that's ba'asei. That's under the asei of. Of Zos HaChaya Asher Tochelu, only eat a Chaya, don't eat the Misukenes. And then La'achar Misa Belav. After it dies, then it's under a double, because now it's Nevela Lo Sochal. So maybe you could still argue that it's a quasi Nevela. So he says, fine. I get what you're saying, and I'm going to offer a second approach. Ela mida amar rachmana treifa lo sochal. The Torah says, don't eat a treifa. Michlal de misukenes sharia. Therefore, the misukenes must be okay. Why? De isa gadaitach misukenes asira. Because if you believe that a misukenes is asir, Rashi, by the way, here on treifa gives you the cue for what he's also going to say on Amud Beis, that michuseres he. Treifa is actually lacking something. So he says, "De'isak adaitach misukenes asira." If you're going to tell me that the misukenes is aser, hashta misukenes de lo michsera asira, the misukenes is not lacking anything. There's that phrase. The misukenes is not missing anything, and yet it's aser, treifa mibaya. Would I even have a question regarding treifa? The fact that you need a pasuk to tell me treifa is no good tells me that misukenes must still be okay. That's his argument, just like we made with nevela. To which he says, "V'dilma haynu treifa haynu misukenes." Maybe not. Maybe they're the same thing. V'lav or olav ba'asei v'losa asei. And it's simply saying that there's an asei of eat only chaya, and there's a losa asei of don't eat treifa. No. In Cain, nevela dekas of rachman olam ali. If that were true, then I come back to my question from before. Why did the Torah need to asu nevela? You have a lav and an asay now. While it's still alive as a treifa, la'achar misa mebaya. Is that even a question after it's dead? To which he says, well, v'dilma, hainu nevela, hainu treifa, hainu misukenes. That doesn't mean what it sounds like. Rashi explains, and we already saw this when we rejected the equation of misukenes and nevela. What we mean here is that the pasuk for nevela could refer to a misukenes, which became a treifa and died. That's what he means. In other words, it's not that in all cases misukenes and treifa and nevela are synonymous. That's not what we mean. What we mean is that pasuk could be referring to a case in which it was a misukenes, it became a treifa, and then it died. The lav or olav in the Gemara, the lav or olav bishne lav and vaasei, and that way you will have two los aseis. Don't eat nevela, don't eat treifa, vaasei, and the asei of zos hachaya asher tochlu. Maybe that's the idea. And the pasuk prohibiting treifa is not to the exclusion of a misukenes. It's not to say, well, misukenes would have been fine, but treifa is no good. In fact, it's added as another layer on misukenes. Elamehacha. So we go with attempt number three. And this is attempt number three. Elamehacha. V'chelav nevela v'chelav treifa ye'asel l'chol malacha. V'achol lo sochlu, the pasuk says. The chela, the fat, from a nevela, from a treifa, is mutter bahana. You can do what you want with it, but don't eat it. V'omar mar. And on that pasuk, we ask, l'may hilchasa, as far as what law? Why did you have to say, v'achol lo sochlu? As Rashi explains, the Torah already says, you're not allowed to eat chela. You're not allowed to eat dam. So why do I need to say, don't eat the chela and dam from a nevela, from a treifa? Amra Torah, Yavo Iser Nevela V'Yachol Iser Achelev. HaTorah, the Torah tells us that now it's no longer just Chelev, now it's Chelev Nevela. It also is a Nevela. This is Iser Chalal Iser, right? Because it's an Iser Kolel. It's an Iser that originally only applied to the Chelev, but now the whole body becomes a Nevela, and the Chelev becomes Aser along with it as Nevela. So if you eat the Chelev now, you're liable twice. The Yavo Iser Treifa, V'Yachol Iser Chelev. The same gig for treifa, sorry? Right, so it depends how you define Iser Kol, Iser Mosif. If you remember, one of the Rashis where he walks you through this shows you it could actually be either one. So you have this passage in which we are told that chelav becomes nevela, chelav becomes treifa. Top of the next slide, the isal kadaita treifa ainu misukenes. But if you believed that treifa already was misukenes and misukenes already was treifa, lechta rachmana chelav nevela yeyasel lachom malacha vechelav treifa lo sokluhu. Then you wouldn't have needed to say vechelav nevela vechelav treifa. Right, you would not have needed to say Yehosel l'chom alacha, group them together and don't eat. You could have just said Chelev nevela is mutter for hana. You're allowed to use it, and that would teach me that it's not. I'm working with Rashi here. The Mechel Nevela Yehosel L'chom Malacha to teach me that it doesn't communicate Tuma as Nevela. The Vechela Treifa Lo Sochlu and don't eat the Chelev of Treifa. Vana Amina, and then I would have said Uma Mechaim Asi Yisr Treifa Chayala Yisr Chelev when it was alive. It became a treifa, and then the chelev became treifa chelev. La'achar misa mibayu, would I even have any question about nevela? Of course it's tameh. Why couldn't I deduce it already from treifa? In other words, if you're willing to say the treifa and the misukenes are equivalent, right? So treifa status begins while it's alive, and misukenes status obviously is while it's alive, then of course the chelev of a nevela will also be also as nevela. That's the argument that we would like to bring. Correct.
The question is,
correct.
You have to say achila by nevela.
Correct. Ela midakasa rachmana nevela, from the fact that it needed to mention nevela in this regard as well, michlal de treifa lav hainu misukenes. That tells me that the treifa is not a misukenes, and now applying that backwards, we can use the preceding argument that since I needed a special pasuk to prohibit treifa, that shows that misukenes is fine. Right now you've split treifa from a misukenes. That was really the goal. To which the Gemara now asks Matal's question. Maskif la marbar avashi. Marbar avashi asks, V'dema la'olam e'malach, hainu treifa, hainu misukenes. Maybe I should be able to argue that treifa and misukenes are the same. Udaka amrit nevela dekasav rachmano lamali. And as far as your question of, well then why did the Torah say nevela? Lahach nevela delo asya mikach misukenes. Is because you could have a case in which it was a nevela, but it never went through a misukenes stage. Ve'echidami, what's your case? Shasa gistera, where you slashed it in half. So in that case, it never went through the stage of misukenes. It went straight to nevela. It did not pass go. It did not collect $200.
And death was instead of prolonged.
Exactly. So there was no misukenes stage. And that's where you needed to mention nevela. In other words, I would have known ordinarily when it's a misukenes, it's like a treifa, it's like a nevela. All right, and you could add on however many lavin and assays that makes. Then why do I need a pasuk of? Nevela is treifa is misukenes, correct? Then why did I need a special reference to nevela over here? The answer is because not every time it's not always going to go through these stages. Right, hasam nami iefshar delav imisukenes porta mekama delivsek ruba. He says no. In every case, it goes through being a misukenes. It has to be a misukenes even for a moment before you cut the animal the majority of the way through. There is some point at which it is dying, and apparently not because of the wound, because we've already said that dying because of a wound is treifa, not misukenes. There must be a stage in which it is called a misukenes. At some point before it's cut through. That is our third approach. So all of our first three approaches rest on the fact that you need special psukim for nevela and treifa. And how do I know misukenes is going to be all right? I would have assumed off limits because of zos achayah asher tochelu. And we have three different ways to do it. First, from the Torah needing a special pasuk to prohibit nevela. Second, because the Torah needs a special pasuk to prohibit treifa. And third, because the Torah needs a special pasuk of chelev of a nevela shall not be. Those are my first three approaches. My fourth and fifth are much easier. If this gave you a headache until now, you'll enjoy the fourth and the fifth. V'ibayisema, if you want, I'll say it very simply. In Cain, if that were true, that the misukenes was usur, then lema chelev nevela utrefa. The Torah should have just said chelev nevela utrefa. Why did you need the word chelev twice? V'chelev nevela v'chelev trefa. Chelev chelev lamali. Why do you need to say chelev twice? Zohi she'ein chelba chaluk mi b'sara. To teach me, in nevela cases and in trefa cases, the chelev has the same status as the meat. The meat is aser, and the chelev is aser. V'yesh l'cha acheres, but there's another case, she'chelba chaluk mi b'sara, in which the chelev has a different status from the meat. The chelev is aser, the meat is mutter. V'ezo, and what is that? Zo misukenes. That's talking about the misukenes. This is a much simpler source. It's simply gzeres akasuv. The Torah says, chelev, chelev, here to teach me the chelev is just like the meat in these cases, and the misukenes case is not. The Ibayis Ema, or our fifth source, comes from a drash on something that Yechezkel said. The Ibayis Ema Mehacha, if you want, I'll get it from here. Va'omar. Yechezkel says something which at first glance is perplexing and the Gemara needs to explain. Yechezkel is talking about what he did in life that kept him tahor, that kept him pure on a high level. Aha! Hashem Elokim. Hine nafshi lo mituma. He says, my nefesh never was made tame, was never contaminated. The reason why he has to say this, if you take a look at Rashi, is Yechezkel ka'amilu l'kadosh baruch hu l'vishay omer lo kach l'chachitim usarim b'ugas sa'orim tochlena. V'hi b'gilolei tzawas ha'odam t'ugena le'enehem. He tells him that he should take this repellent thing. He says, I never made myself tame. Unevelu trefa lo achalti minu uraive at ata. I never ate a nevela. I never ate a trefa. Velo baba fi besar pigul. And I never ate pigul meat. So you look at this and say, Azoya gadol. This is Yechezkel Navi. I never ate treif. You want to know how to become a navi? Don't eat treif. What are you talking about? So we explain what he meant. Hine nafshi lo mituma, my nefesh never became tame. Shlo herharti bayom lavo lide tuma balayla, or the addition in the Shita Mekubet says is stronger, bayom ubasi lide tuma balayla. He says, I never thought about inappropriate things during the day, lavo, in order to come to tuma at night, or the Shita Mekubet says, and that brought me to tuma at night. I never had these inappropriate thoughts. Now, Tosus points out that's a straight issue. You're not allowed to think about things that are going to cause such a thing. But he's praised because it's nonetheless rampant, because it happens all the time, and therefore he's praised for keeping himself from it. Granted that, it's an iser. That's number one. Number two, unvelo utrefa lo achalti min urai. From the days of my youth, is the way most Mefarshim take this, this minu urai, I never ate nevela utrefa. What does that mean? Shelo achalti besar kos me olam. Those of you Shnai Mikra with Targum know that kos is the Aramaic for shchot, right? Unaches is v'shachat. So when people say shechted fast, shechted, because it's dying, because it's a misukenes, he says, I never ate any such meat. And that goes back to your question about whether there's an idea that you should maybe just let the animal get better. I never ate if they said shechted. I was concerned about that. And that's what he's calling nevelo trefa. Sorry? That includes the misukenes, correct. And that's our source for saying misukenes is all right. The Rashi here says that it's maus. In other words, it should be technically mutter. What's the big deal here? But the answer is that it's maus, that it's disgusting. Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Yeridaya Yudzayin Gimel as a chumra of gedolim, not to eat animals that they rush to shecht. So that's our second thing. Sorry?
Is Rashi here or somewhere else?
No, Rashi here. It is the Hainu Rabusei. We didn't get to it yet because it'll be the end of our circuit here, but Hainu Rabusei is where he said it. Veloba b'fi b'sar pigul, and I never ate. Nothing came into my mouth of pigul. What does that mean? Shelo achalti mibehema shahora ba chacham. I never ate from an animal that a chacham had to give a ruling on. Meaning, the line shayla machtreif. Literally, if you asked a shayla, then I wouldn't eat from it. A few things very interesting on this on this point. But let's finish Rabbi Nassan first. Mishum Rabbi Nassan Amru. They said the name of Rabbi Nassan. Shelo achalti mibehema shelo hurmu matanoseha. I wouldn't eat from the animal before portions were separated off to give to a kohen. Why is that so wonderful? So Rashi says, "Matnosah zrav al chayim vakeva." Right, those three parts. Yechezkel was a kohen. Ubalah Rama yachala ochla, and he could eat even without giving off the gifts to the kohen. That's Rashi's statement. Tosfos notes there is a view that an animal that hasn't had these things separated is like tevel. And if it's like tevel, then no one can eat from it. Not a kohen either. Mario, you can't eat from the animal until you give the zera l'chayim in the keva. Just like a kohen can't eat produce until he gives truma. So according to that, we take it's behema shahara b'chacham. That's the idea. The Marasha asks, why though do we call it pigul? In other words, I understand why he used the term nevela and trefa to refer to the misukenes, because maybe it's a dying animal, there's an association. But why would you call this pigul? So he says it's because it's thought dependent. These are thought dependent. Either the thought of this animal may be usur, I have to show it to a chacham to ask a shayla, or the thought involved in separating something off and identifying it as the as truma meiser that we're associating with the matanos, with these gifts. That's the Marasha. But the Margolios Hashas has a great line. Hora ba chacham. He says hora, we know to mean give a ruling, right? But hora is also a term for pregnancy. The hora. So he says if the chacham puffed himself up in giving this answer, then I don't trust the answer. If the chacham was arrogant about giving the answer, I'm going to tell you that this is fine or whatever, I didn't trust it, and therefore I wouldn't eat from it. The reason why someone needs to provide an explanation like that is because normally if the chacham says mutter, you're supposed to eat it. You're not supposed to challenge what the chacham said. So maybe there was something wrong in the way the chacham came to this ruling.
Isn't there an expression that there's no kunstis to say treifa, no kunstis to say that it's a kashrut?
Yes, and maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it's he felt like the chacham probably had to twist something or push a little bit to find a way to be matir it, and therefore he wouldn't go that route. That would certainly be pshat in the line.
That was the problem of Ramayshin, right? He always was confused.
The
crowd, what you have to work with the crowd, right?
That's what it takes to be a posig,
right.
to really understand and not simply to say, leave that be.
Pesachal seems to be suggesting all these cases that he was actively needing throughout the...
Correct. Yeah. That's the point. That's why you can't just say it's nevela, trefa, and pigul.
Otherwise, there's no saying.
Correct. So the Gemara says, and that's our next line here, just to finish the proof, and this is where Rashi makes the comment, Mato. Iyamrit Bishlama Sharia, if you're going to tell me that the Misukenes is technically permitted, Haina Rabusai Yechezkel. So that's what Yechezkel was saying. I went above and beyond and didn't eat these things. And now you're going to tell me, eat this. Ela Iyamrit Asira, but if you're going to tell me that it's Aser, my Rabusai Yechezkel, then why would Yechezkel have taught me any sort of novelty? I didn't eat a Misukenes. No, neither did I. That's the point, and that's another source, not a source to explicitly permit misukenes, but a sideways source. It's indirect. From this we learn that the misukenes is mutter. Maya, what are you going to say?
Isn't the fact that one puts these isurim on himself, something that's mutter, and he says, I'm not going to eat it, and he treats it as usur, is also not permitted, because you're supposed to be nemet from the oil.
In other words, are you violating being not the idea of benefiting from this world? Yeah, there are plenty of ways to benefit from this world without eating a misukenes.
I know.
If you want, we'd have a session afterwards. There are plenty of mutter ways to benefit. If you say I'm not going to have this, it's not such a big deal. So what exactly is a misukenes? I quoted this already in the beginning. What exactly is this animal that is so weak and it's dying, but it's not a trefa? So Amar Yudam Arav, 8 lines up from the bottom, or so. Kol shemamidin osa ve'eino omedes, 10 lines up. Kol shemamidin osa ve'eino omedes. If you stand it up and it doesn't remain standing. Rav Chanina Bar Shlamya Mishmei de Rav, Rav Chanina Bar Shlamya quotes Rav, Omar, he said, Afilu ochelas bekoyos. Even if the animal appears to be healthy, it's eating pieces of wood, which doesn't indicate that it's sick. It indicates that it's has very strong teeth and a very strong jaw. So the animal looks like it's healthy. It's eating these chunks of wood. Nonetheless, if it's not able to stand up, it's a misukenes. Rami Bar Yechezkel Amar Afilu Ocheles Koros. Rami Bar Yechezkel says even if it's eating beams, if it can't stand, it's a misukenes. And remember, the practical application is what we said in the Mishnah, that if it's not able to stand up, if it's now this misukenes, then you have to have special demonstrations of its strength at the time that you shecht it to show that it died from the shechita and not on its own.
So they're implying if it can't stand and even can't chew, that would be beyond misukenes?
Yeah, well, not beyond misukenes, but it would definitely be misukenes. Here I had some reason to doubt, because it's able to chew. If it can't even chew, then all the more so, I don't have any suffering, it's a misukenes for sure. Besura masni hachi, with no practical ramification, other than that it removes the doubt from my mind. Besura masni hachi, that's the way they presented it in Surah. The Pumbedisa masni hachi, in Pumbedisa they had a different version of it. Hechi dami misukenes, what is misukenes? Amar of Yehuda Marav, koshma amidin osa ve'eno medes vafilu ocheles bekayos. Rav Yehuda's version of Rav includes what we threw in about chewing, that even if it chews pieces of wood, and Rav Yechezkel Amar afilu ocheles koros, Rav Yechezkel said, even if it's eating koros, even if it's eating beams. I don't care. The Gemara now begins a new phase. We'll start on it just because we have a couple of minutes, but we're going to need to revisit this tomorrow. Defining Pirchus. Shkechinu Shmuel etamidei de Rav. Shmuel sees Rav's students. Amar lo, he says to them, "My Amar Rav misukenes." What did Rav say regarding misukenes? What does the misukenes have to do to demonstrate that it's alive? Amar lo, they said to him, "Hachi Amar Rav." This is what Rav said. Goa v'hitila rei v'kishkasha ba'azna hareza pirchus. Pirchus is much broader than what we defined before about moving an arm and a leg and a tail, but rather goa, which Rashi says means that it moans. V'itila rei, it excretes, v'kishkasha be'azna, or it moves its ear. Hareze pirchus. That counts as pirchus. So Amar Lahu, Shmuel says to them, Itzrech aleila Abba la'azuze uni. It sounds like this is an and. It has to do all of these things. So did Abba Rashi here says is a term of respect for Rav, but remember also that Abba is actually Rav's name. So did Rav require that it move its ear? Sha'ani Omer kol she'eino devarm shamisa osa. He says, I say that's not necessary. That's not the point. What is pirkus? Pirkus is doing something that doesn't normally happen in the course of death. And then the Gemara is going to ask, well, what are the things that happen in the course of death? And we'll have to walk through that, God willing, tomorrow.